We'd like to thank our sponsors, A&H Provisions. For all of your kosher delicatessen needs, go to kosherdogs.net and 30% off of your first order with promo code MODI. Also, Whites and Luxembourg, the law firm that not only does well, they do good. Whitesandlux.com.
Welcome to And Here's Modi.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to And Here's Modi. Before we start, I want to make sure everybody knows that the special is out, Know Your Audience, the show that we toured around all over America and Europe and Israel, and now it's available on YouTube, free for everybody. Please make sure that your Saba, your Safta, grandmother, grandfather, Zaidi, Bubi, get to watch it. If they are not tech savvy, make sure you go to their house and sit up on their TV for them. Do your pairing or however you do it. I have no idea. Leo does all that stuff. But that's it. Just share the special with friends and have a good laugh. And right before the podcast began, these two beautiful women that are sitting here on the sofa were having a little laugh. And they said, I don't remember the last time I laughed. And I want to tell you that it's important to pause for the laughter, which is the name of my new tour. Am I plugging everything right up front? I'm horribly plugging everything up front.
No, it's good.
You have to pause for laughter. You guys are going through hell with in a general, I mean, we're going to talk about, I'm the worst at introducing everybody.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm the horrible.
Right now. Okay, but first of all, hello.
Hello, hi. I'm so excited. I get so excited, right?
Everybody's very excited to meet you too. You're doing like a mitzvah, not only to spread the work that they're doing, but also to give them smiles.
Yes. Smile. Yeah. Pause for the laughter.
We have two guests today.
Yes.
Liat Corinne and Shani Granot. Shani almost didn't make it. She texted me. I'm not going to make it. I have an interview, and I called her, and I was like, "Yeah, with us,"
because I thought I was going
That's
to look.
I would
at,
do.
No, I thought Liat was going to do the interview, and I'm just gonna sit. And then I said, "Okay, but I have another interview." But then I.
That's so funny. Okay, everybody, get close to your microphones. We've been getting people DMing that
really?
they can't hear the guests yet.
Oh, that's not okay, good. Okay, so right Shani, can you please state your name and address for the court.
So Shanit, those of you, Sha, like be quiet, Sha and Neat. Keep everything neat in your room.
No, Shani.
Shani.
It's a Bible name, Shani. It means the red bracelet that they put in the kotel.
That's the bendel.
That's Shani.
In Yiddish, it's
Shani
called the bendel.
Shani is the red. It's the color.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Who are you? And why are you here?
It's actually, can I just tell you, we're actually thinking about doing a thing at every segment. What does Periel not know? This one was double. I didn't know that meant red either. But we always throw things at Periel, like from the religious things. And she's like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, but I'm Israeli, so I'm not supposed to know religious things. Usually American Jews know way more than
they
me.
Do,
and then
yes.
It's like embarrassing.
Yes.
Like I've never met
but
a rabbi.
That's where Periel is much more Israeli.
That's where I really shine.
In not knowing Orthodox things. Okay.
Okay. Shani, I met Shani on October 8th.
Wow.
Yeah.
We were introduced through a mutual friend. And can you just tell our listeners what you started to do on October 7th?
Yes. So before October 7th, we were running the pro-democracy movement from here. And then the pro-democracy Israeli movement from here. And then on October 7th, like everyone else, we've changed our mission because there was so much to do. And we founded the Hostages Families Forum here in New York, which was kind of the home for the families that are abroad, that are here, and also for the families that are coming from Israel in different delegations here to New York City. We scheduled meetings for them, diplomatic meetings and media and press, and made a lot of community events and demonstrations and rallies and installations throughout the city to make people talk about it and know it and so on. And we've fundraised for life gear, life-saving gear for soldiers and for the evacuated people from the south of Israel. So we've done different things. But the Hostages Families Forum was kind of the main thing we've been doing in the past a little bit more than 7 months now. And this is how I met Liat as well.
Who is a cousin of one of the hostages.
Right,
Liat. Omer Shem Tov.
Right.
And it's just so ironic that his poster was right by our house. And it was hanging up there for a while. And every time I'd come home from the gym, from the subway, from wherever, I would see his face. And it was just like, it was a part of my day, seeing his face. And then one day, everybody always asks you, who's your dream wish guest? And somebody was texting that to me while I was walking home. And I look up and I go, that's who I want. It was literally like, that's how that happened. And then we talked about it in the 100th episode. But then the poster was painted over. And then it was Hanukkah and I was invited to the mayor's house. And you were there. Or your family was there.
Maybe my cousin.
Your cousins were there, yeah. And I remember the family of and I didn't go over and speak to them because I was there for a minute. I had to go to a show, but I was like, wow, just like I thought I was done seeing that poster. And you've done such a job making sure people are seeing and all over the place, they're seeing the hostages and remembering it.
It's an amazing story to show people how important it is to put the posters out there and the stickers and to continue to do it because it makes them alive for all of us in our minds.
It makes them alive. And, you know, I'll tell you, we've been doing this. We did a tour throughout all of America and Europe and Israel. And Israel was before, but when I'm on stage and there's backlighting, so you see, like, you see the form of the audience members and you see the little tags, the bring them home tags. And so I'm looking at that the entire show. So I am always reminded of when I see it, it hits you. Luckily, I'm in my mode and thinking through it and all the signs you put up and all of the tags you wear are so important because it just takes the regularity of the moment out. Even though we're having a conversation, when's the next podcast? Did you schedule it? Did you call them? Da da da. The tag is there.
Yeah.
And it literally reminds you, you think your world's falling apart, but there is something bigger than that. And just wearing those little tags and little pins and the shirts, and it really makes a difference. I'm talking way too much.
No, you're not. You actually your show.
That's right. I don't wear it. I never wore the Jewish stars. I never wore any of that stuff. First of all, I don't need to. I just open my mouth and everybody knows it's a big Jew. And so I don't need to wear stars. And I, since the whole war began, had been trying to be someplace where people can go for a pause from it. So I don't wear the tags. So like when they're talking to me and I give them a joke, they don't right away, because your eyes, when you speak to somebody, your eyes eventually go to the tag, the bring them home tag. So it's amazing, everybody wears them. But I try to be in a space where I'm giving a little relief from that. Believe me, I pray for them every morning and I pray for them every night. And I go to bed, I put my phone down on that do not disturb thing I just showed you. And I say, I'm going to pick this phone up tomorrow. And the first thing is going to be hostages released, ceasefire begins, Mashiach energy. That's how I literally, my last thought of every night when I put the phone down. And so I can't thank you enough for making everybody constantly remember that this is happening. And you, this is a family. How does it feel when you have a family member as a hostage? It must be the most, I can't imagine.
I don't know that there's enough words necessarily to sort of, but the best way I can say is 210 days of a nightmare.
Yeah. Does it hit you in waves? Yeah. Sometimes like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you forget about it because you're doing something.
Correct.
And then boom, wow. My cousin's in God knows where. Hopefully. Wow.
It absolutely hits you in waves. It's a roller coaster. There's days
I can speak for myself, can't get out of bed. And then there's days where you're like, well, we've got a meeting with this ambassador and this thing. And so it doesn't matter if you can't get out of bed. You're getting out of bed and you're going to show up.
Yeah.
So what you want to tell us a little bit of this, your story, Omail's story. And then the other thing that I think is important is to share information of what people can do. Liat and I were talking before the show and we're saying everybody has a responsibility to do something. Not everybody can get up and do what you do, right?
Oh, right.
But whether you're emailing your representatives or your hand stickers, everybody can do whatever they can do. But we can talk about that maybe a little bit after. Will you tell us about Omer? And, you know, I watch Shelly every day, his mother, and just as the mother of a son also. She's incredible in a way that I'm sure she never wanted to be.
She was always that incredible. Yes.
Yeah.
Now I think
really
the world sees it.
Talk louder, though. Okay. And
into the mic. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know who to talk to. Omer, I'll tell you a little bit about Omer before.
Okay.
So Omer is just, it did something to me when you shared that podcast about you wanting to meet Omer, because Omer is hysterical.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that you guys will hit it off when he comes home. I cannot wait.
Omer looks like when Leo and I go dancing in Brooklyn at those raves, we dance, and then all of a sudden, some young Jewish kid goes, I watch your videos. So funny. I watch your videos. So funny. Or my mom watches your videos. I'm like, how does she get them? I send it to her. Literally, he looks like all the Jewish kids are like, watch your videos, good stuff. You know, he literally looks like every one of the Jewish kids whenever I'm at a rave. Like, he's like, hi, you know. And so,
but he just looks to make people laugh. Like he'll be in a car and he'll know where he's going, but he'll roll down the window and just put on a different accent. Like he's just that guy. Makes people laugh, you know, asks for the check in a funny accent, whatever it is. So he's really funny. He loves to dance. He's a really good dancer. He wants to be a music producer.
Oh.
So getting that ready for him when he comes home.
Good, good. You haven't heard, there's nothing. There's no news. Is there anything?
Since Itai was released, Itai and Maya were kidnapped along with him from the Nova Music Festival.
Okay.
So he went to the festival
To go to the festival after Shelly's 51st birthday party. Dinner, rather.
Wow.
They celebrated her 51st birthday. He promised to buy her shoes. They didn't have her size. He said that he would buy it for her on Sunday. They'd go to a different location. Sunday looked different. He went to the party. We have videos of him dancing at the sunrise and then 6:29 and their attempted escape mission began. He was kidnapped with Maya and Itai Regev, who were released on the last ceasefire exchange deal, along with a boy called Ori Danino, who went back to save him only after meeting him a few hours before. He met him on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And he called him and said, hey, are you guys okay? No, share a location. Went back into a terror scene, even though he had escaped the active terror scene. Went back to save them, picked them up, and on their way out of the Re'im towards Kibbutz Re'im, they were surrounded by terrorists who fired live ammunition, disabling the car, severely wounding Maya in her legs, wounding Itai, and then, you know, he was on live location share with his family on WhatsApp, and he's spoken to them a few minutes before.
Wow.
And they saw his location move into Gaza.
Oh, my God.
Until 9 a.m. Uh-huh. And the signal was lost. I don't know. I think it was that night.
What did they say when they were released about... Did they see... When they were
captured... They were held captive together.
Together.
Yeah.
At the beginning,
Itai... Well, until they were released.
Yeah, Itai was with him. Maya was taken to hospital because she was severely injured.
Right.
And they had a surgery on her leg and they made it wrong. So she was...
Where was she? In Israel?
In Gaza.
No, in Gaza.
In Gaza, they took her to a hospital in Gaza.
She was severely wounded.
Wow.
And she was away from them, from Itai and Omer. And she was released first, and then I think 2 days after Itai was released, And he gave all the news about Omer because yes. he was with him.
And what did they say? What was the news?
Well,
was he injured? Was he wasn't complete?
Itai or Omer? Omer, no. Omer just was handcuffed strongly, but he was not injured. He was not wounded. He shared that he was having a hard time breathing because he has asthma and no inhaler.
Oh my God.
That he's being fed pita and he's celiacs. So.
Oh my God.
So he's eating something that's ripping his insides apart. But.
Yes.
And this is Mashiach energy.
Yes.
He does kiddush in captivity every week by rationing his food. He rations the very minimal food that he's given.
Yes.
Scrapes the salt off of the pretzels, I think he was given, every week. The grape juice and the quarter pita. And he makes kiddush.
Wow.
By counting the Muslim call to prayers. And one of them was in charge of counting the days. And one of them was in charge of, you know, so they know approximately what time it was to know when Shabbat ended.
Wow. That's amazing. Mashiach that is amazing. That's Mashiach energy right there in captivity. This is like the stories you hear from the Holocaust, how they knew when the holidays were and how they... He's in the Holocaust. Yeah. He's in a straight up Holocaust. So, but there is hope. So you, there's
hope.
I'm 100% that there's hope. I'm saying it. I'm not saying it in a question.
No.
I'm saying it. There is hope.
There's hope.
And
Itai shared that in his moments of breaking, because you're in captivity with terrorists, murderers, that when he was down and he was ready to give up, Omer found a way to make a joke.
Yes.
And
pause for the laughter. You have to.
Pause for the laughter.
You have to pause for the laughter.
I didn't give myself permission until you shared that right now.
I'm telling you, you have to. You have to. You can't. You need that breath. You need that. You know, it hit me. I tell this story all the time, but when the war began, we were in the Satay Hotel and we saw Bruno Mars being taken out.
Oh, in Israel.
In Israel, yeah. So I said to Leo, I go, thank God they got Bruno Mars out of the hotel. And he goes, why? And I said, because if the bomb hits this hotel and me and Bruno Mars die, I will get zero press coverage. No one's going to talk about me. And so we laughed. We both laughed. We were laughing while we're watching a war on the television. And I said to him, that's when we, you know, you have to pause for laugh. It's definitely Leo's quote. It's his and the theme of the new tour, but it's, you have to pause for laughter and then go back into you. But you need that moment. It's like a rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. It's like a breath. You just get some adrenaline into your brains.
It's hard to stomach it, but
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
When I'm watching, a lot of guilt.
When I'm watching Omer's videos on Instagram and so on, I always find myself smiling.
Me too.
Because he's so alive and so funny. And he makes all these kind of stupid moves. And I mean, I don't know him personally, but everyone, I feel like I know
everybody,
him.
Everyone says, so
his videos are so funny. So
I opened his Instagram account. I had to learn how to become an Instagrammer overnight. And bring.omer.home.
Right.
And I share a lot of content about who he is, because I want people to, not just his kidnap story. Who was he before? Why are we fighting for this person? He's not a poster.
I think I'm more impressed. Believe me, I get it. He's the funny guy. He's the one that does the accents. I get it. But the fact that he's making kiddush and doing all that in captivity.
But people tell me they feel like they know him. They can't wait till he comes home. They're asking if we have dinner with him.
Yes.
I'm like, let him get home.
It's the same for him.
It was the same for me. You're not. I'm already sold. And let me tell you, I see every hostage as the names. The names ring in different bells too. You know, the family, we did, one of the projects was to post somebody on your Instagram, and we did it, and it was and his family got in touch with us, and it was just like you feel a connection to them. What you're doing is 100% Mashiach energy. It's, you're bringing, I can't even, I don't have words for it. But like you said, everybody's doing what they can do.
Everybody's doing what they can do, and everybody can do something else, and that's a good thing. Not everybody should be doing the same thing.
And there's even small, like, not small, but like you said, your husband putting on tefillin every day.
Yeah, he never put on.
He never put on tefillin, but it's strong. It's an energy. It's,
my kids pray for Omer every night when they say Shema Yisrael now, 5 and 3.
That's it.
Years old, they're babies, but every night, bring Hashem, bring Omer home. Hashem, bring the Jewish people home. Hashem, protect the soldiers every night.
You've made some very impactful speeches about unity. Maybe you could talk a little bit about those.
I think what's happening with Omer and what I view as 132 of my brothers and sisters is that it's being politicized.
Yes.
And I don't think that hostages are a political thing. And it doesn't matter which side of the spectrum you're on in terms of politics, in terms of religious level, and keeping innocent human beings away from their families is wrong, and we can all agree on that.
Can I ask you, do you feel that the citizens of Gaza that are not Hamas are also hostages?
By Hamas.
By Hamas, absolutely.
By Hamas, absolutely. Yes. They're also hostages.
We care about Palestinian lives. We care about every human being.
Same.
Innocents are innocents.
Innocents are innocents. Somebody reached out to us about this, I shouldn't have even brought it up, about Arab people that are apologizing for what's happening. They want to come on the podcast. It's perfect for you to deal with, but there's just innocence. It's just children.
I think the narrative has been twisted into this very false story of hatred, and it's not true. I mean, it's actually not true.
We have Muslims that were taken hostage as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a Jewish-Arab fight. This is not what it's all about. It's just not the story. And when people are tearing down today, this morning, I saw someone tear down one of the posters. We live just across Columbia University. Real fun these days.
Wow.
Yeah, my husband is a student. So.
Oh, my God. You're just dropping that on us like that's like, you got to be kidding me.
No.
You're just dropping that your husband's a student. On top of everything, he's a student at Columbia University?
Yeah. He's doing his master's. It's been real fun.
What's his master's in?
He's doing it in public administration.
Wow. So hold on. So you're living that too?
Yeah. We are actually... From all, my husband's cousin was taken hostage with her three children, and they were released on the previous deal. And then Colombia became this crazy place where we live. We live in Colombia's housing. Like, this is just across the gate, like literally. And when I see people tear down the posters or when I hear what they're chanting, I'm like, you guys, you got it all wrong. Like, you're not into peace. You're not into saving lives.
You can't explain it. And I don't say Arab-Israeli conflict. I always, from the beginning, said barbarians against civilians.
Right.
Civil. They're civil. Here's civil. This is a civil person. And that's a barbarian taking them. And we have to deal and negotiate with barbarians. And it's painful. And they're under this thing of God is involved in their head in an intense and crazy way. You know, I've told this story I tell all the time. My father was in three wars in Israel. Yom Kippur, 57 and the Six-Day War, right?
Mm-hmm. 67.
67? So it was a Six-Day War.
Yeah.
But there was another war before that.
In between.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was in three wars. And he was talking about he was in the desert and they were in these like motorcades and coming at, and then they got to the Syrians were across from them. And my father was driving the truck. There was an officer there. My father was driving the first truck. And before the officer even had a chance to give orders or anything, my father just started driving to the left. They started driving away, and they drove to the other way. They looked at each other. They were all miluimnikim. They were all reservists. They all had families at home. They all had businesses they just started. They just took a mortgage on a house, you know. And they're like, what are we going to start shooting each other? So they each went the other way. Now it's not that anymore.
No.
Now there's not, it's not too, you know.
What, there's no moral.
When influence. You look at, when I see Arab people, I see a cousin. This is a cousin. It's a cousin.
I'm married to one. My husband is Moroccan. He's literally Arab. He looks like one too.
He's not Jewish. He's
no, he's Jewish. But I'm like,
right, yes.
Oh, that's now you're going to this far. You can say that. We cannot say that.
I call my husband that way. I mean, he's
People always ask me, why do you make fun of Ashkenazi people and I always make the Sephardic so cool. And
we
so,
are.
You are. But could you imagine if I was making fun of Sephardic people as an Ashkenazi guy? Oh, that's why I do it.
Yeah. Your career would be over.
I would be
but
killed.
My last name is Loubaton too now, so I can.
What's your last name?
Granot Loubaton, which is the Moroccan name. So I'm like, I'm
Louis
okay.
Vuitton.
Very, very close.
Christian Louboutin.
Unfortunately, without the shoes, though.
Red soul.
Oh my god! But not without the soul. That's good. Oh, I like that. Oh my god! Wait. So what the hell is going on in Columbia University? I said this was my joke.
This powerhouse organized a huge rally.
Of course she did. Of course she did. And probably before I even got out of bed, I was saying this. You could definitely tell these are not Jewish kids because you don't take over a building like that. That's the kind of building you do a triple net lease on. And you bring catering. That girl with the catering girl we spoke about. Ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And we need to get food. I said, Sybil, you're killing us.
We need Her last name is Slutsky.
Is that Jewish?
I don't know if she's Jewish.
Has a Jewish sound to it.
It has a very Jewish sound
or
to
it. Could be Polish.
She said that it's a humanitarian crisis.
Humanitarian aid.
Yeah,
it's like you can order Uber Eats. Like, what are you talking about? There's like a great Vietnamese restaurant.
How do you take over a building and not plan on like the meals? Every Jewish guy, okay, go in there, bring some sandwiches.
No, those sandwiches would have been in there before.
Of course, of course, set it up.
Russ and daughters would have
catered. First, you get the food.
First, you get the food.
Oh my God.
There's lists now from some of them where it's like, we need gluten-free this, and we need Plan B, and we need cigarettes, and we need a vape. I mean, these people are Delulu.
Delulu.
100%.
Delusional on another level. Yeah. What is wrong with them? You know what it is? It's like every generation has to have the thing that they're protesting about.
Right.
So there's the Vietnam and this and that. And this is like...
But people had morals and values back then. Today, they're just a product of their algorithms.
And it's intensified on steroids on social media.
Sure. And also they actually don't know anything, which was the difference between, you know, protesting Vietnam War. And look, I'm all for protesting 100%. All means, go protest. But know what you're protesting for, right?
And be peaceful. And be...
Yeah,
be,
respectful.
This is where we stand over here, make our thing. Here's the media. Do get our energy out, but you don't...
Calling to burn Tel Aviv to the ground is inciting violence. Like, you should not be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Like, I think that these people are not peaceful protesters. I think that they are calling for violent actions, and I don't think that that's okay.
They're very much morally confused.
Very much morally confused.
Uneducated. Yeah. I walked onto the encampment after your rally. I didn't share this with you. I went there and had a 3-hour conversation with the students there.
With the students?
With the pro-Palestinian students. And how did it go? So at first they were very hostile towards letting me in. The Zionists. So I was like, excuse me, this is a public space. Like, I took a student with me because she was like, you're going to go. She was like 19, 20 years old. She was afraid. And she's like, you're going to go. She's like, you're not scared. She's like, do you want me to accompany you? I've never been. I'm like, I'm not scared, but you're welcome to accompany me. And I went in and they tried to intimidate us. And they sent someone to supervise and observe me and make sure I'm not here to cause any violence. That's how she said it. I'm here to supervise and observe.
What violence are you causing?
Well, I mean, I'm very tall. If I stand up, maybe it's a little
bit. No, I know. But, like, but your eyebrows and everything, the makeup. Now, what violence are you doing?
And I sat there for 3 hours and spoke to some students. I listened to them first. And that's how we created open dialogue. And I think I planted some seeds for them to think about because they say that they're there to end Palestinian suffering. But how does BDS further that cause of like the immediate suffering of Palestinian children? And when I brought up the idea of coming together instead of dividing amongst ourselves,
yeah,
let's come together and call for the hostage release so the Palestinian children get to grow up.
100%. So when you're saying hostage release, I also think about the Gaza
citizens
as hostages too. There's like, it's not 100%. Just the Israelis and the Omer Shemtovs.
It's the innocence of the world.
It's the innocence of the world.
On all sides.
There's kids. And
but do you know what their answer was?
What?
that's we might have the same goal, but we have different means, and our means have to be material if we want Columbia University to disclose their investments. I said, and how is that going to bring their immediate release of suffering?
What do you mean to disclose their investments?
They want to know what Columbia, they want Columbia to divest from IOF.
Okay.
IOF is the... is the way they call IVF. IDF.
I didn't know. I had to ask them.
Well, Colombia's not sending money to Israel. If anything, no. Jews are sending money to Colombia until now.
Yeah, but they're working with Tel Aviv University and so on.
Okay.
But, I mean,
okay,
so then they should stop using these students.
I don't know.
Everything. One of the places that they weren't, they were trying to divest from was Domino's, because I think they have like big Jewish investors. And then these geniuses who are getting an Ivy League education for $90,000 a year order Domino's for all of the protesters.
And also, I'm like,
as they wow.
I'm a protester like for liberal values, and I do not understand how in their strategy, I mean, taking out liberal money from Israel. How would that do any help?
It won't.
Like, it won't.
You want to help if you want to. No, put more money. Yeah. Put more money into Israel in order to put more. I mean, to make the people who are fighting for peace, who are fighting for liberal values, together like stronger. Yes. How does that help to take out? I mean, that's just
and
weird.
How do you not recognize the fact that Hamas is terrible for the Palestinian people? The innocent Palestinian people in Gaza are screaming to get rid of Hamas.
But social media is portraying them as heroes, as resistance fighters. They're not portraying them as what they are. And that's why I say it's a lack of education. They don't know. They've never been there.
Of course not. They can't even find it on a map.
Can I tell you what the sense that I got? And I mean this in the most respectful way. I felt like the students who were sitting around me and having this dialogue with me were just looking for a place to feel like they belong.
Yeah.
They have been COVID children that didn't get a high school, you know, real experience. They sat behind screens and they didn't have the social capacity. And all of a sudden they're like, this is our safe space. 100%. That is what I felt.
It's so funny you saying this, because I was just, you know, I think I'm a lot to myself. And I talk a lot with myself. I talk to myself a lot. I think I'm coming out about that. Especially if I have a little weed and I'm at the gym. I have a lot of conversations to myself. To the point where Leo sometimes goes, shh. Being loud. I was thinking that these kids that are graduating now were they got in. I had a friend whose daughter got into Columbia. I have a whole batch of friends that were Donnie Moss, who's on the podcast. He has a whole group of friends of his from Columbia. They're like in shock. And their kids got in right when COVID began. So they began doing school from home. And now they're graduating. And now the what graduation do you have when there's a encampment on your campus, and they're so lost. And I was thinking to myself, I remember during COVID when the Black Lives Matter marches began, and Leo and I were in the same headspace. We need to do this. We have to go march. It was also a way to get out there and be outside and be in something with unity and people. It just, and that was Black Lives Matter, which was so important at the time and still is. But they needed something now. They needed and such a
cause.
A cause.
Like
and
a
it's ma?
To unite.
To like just to bring them into
to bring them together.
Social,
yes. Yeah. A social interaction. They're so used to just being on group chats.
Correct.
All of a sudden there's a live group and it's on your campus and it's going crazy and it's
and
exciting.
Hormones and sleeping and over and you
and
know.
Tense.
Yeah, tense yet.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's cool, and you can now take
and they all
of
wear
stuff.
The kafiyah,
like the shmata. I'm gonna, I don't know if did we speak about this, but Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank said blatantly in his company, there are lists now coming about the kids that are on these protests. There's going to be a live list of kids on these protests. Obviously, government positions can't say if you were a protester, we're not hiring you. But he said, in my company that I own, the company I have, I will not be hiring anybody who is on these lists of kids protesting, and they're destroying their lives.
Even though they have the
shmata on their head, but then you can see the eyes and there's recognition, and we're talking about all the ways they can know who these kids are.
Is this the part of the show where it's something Periel doesn't know? Because I have no idea who Mr. Wonderful is.
From Shark Tank, the Imakarachat, with the bald guy. Okay, Shark Tank. You heard of Shark Tank?
I have heard
one of the one of the sharks is known as Mr. Wonderful, and he has his own company. He said, "In his company, I will not be hiring any of these protesters. They're destroying their lives. They're like,
well, they have. It's clear they don't have any critical thinking skills, and you need someone with critical thinking.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's yeah.
What are people doing that is helpful, like for all of the hostages, for support in order to really bridge that gap between something that's happening to other people far away, which one of the things that Shelley said in a video that I watched yesterday is that, and Shelley is Omer Shem Tov's mother, that this could have been any of us. Like, that's one of the things that she realized, that any single one of us, it could have been.
100%. It could have been Leo and I.
Yeah.
Leo and I, hey, there's a rave after all your shows. We flew to Paris. We had a flight that Saturday, but that flight for months, we had that Saturday flight. And then, but in 2 minutes, the world could have been like, hey, stay an extra 2 days in Israel. There's a Nova Festival in Lyon. Okay, let's go to the desert and dance. And we'd have been there. We would have been there.
It could have been Burning Man.
It could have been Burning Man, yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah. I told the students at GW, I went to go speak with them yesterday. And I told them, and they're 20 years old, Omer's age, 21 now. He spent his 21st birthday in captivity.
They all look like him. That's the thing.
I'm telling you.
I'm seeing them in Colombia, and I'm like, you guys, that could have been your brother. Like, this could have been you. Like, please.
We've gone dancing since then. We've been to a few parties and a few DJs in Brooklyn. And, you know, you're dancing and you're like, and you're thinking to yourself, could you imagine someone flying in with a machine gun right now? Could you imagine? It's just like, it's a thought that goes through your head now that you're at a DJ, at a dance somewhere in Brooklyn or, you know, or an outdoor BDM thing. And, you know, it's just, it goes through your head. It really could be anybody.
I just had a conversation with Omri Miran's brother-in-law. He lives here in New York, Moshe Lavi. And Omri is a hostage. And Moshe was in a party when, I mean, he was born and raised in Sderot. So his entire family are in the South. And when the attack started, he was here in New York City in a party. It was like 11:30 at night. Friday night, and he got the messages saying like things are, and he was like, okay, we're used to it. Like if everyone in the shelter, okay, I'll put the phone down and I'll continue to dance and enjoy. And then when he took out the phone again after like an hour, like he realized what was going on.
Yeah.
And it was so crazy that like his sister said the terrorists are inside our apartment, and like they're, and the whole thing that we all heard from October 7th. And since then, he feels like he cannot go to a party because it's just so triggering for him. And I'm sure that once Omri will be home safely and will have the F deal, I don't know if it's allowed to say it here, but I mean, when we'll get the deal, I'm sure he'll be able to party again. And I wish that for him.
I do. It's important to pause for laughter and to go dancing.
Right.
It's important. And you can curse here. She curses like you shouldn't know. Okay. I prefer you don't.
So the fucking deal. Can we get the fucking deal?
Can we get a fucking deal signed, please?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the deals and how they work? And I know that you talk a lot about Qatar and how important it is that it's and first of all that there are hostages from like 25 countries.
25.
This is not an American thing. This is not an Israeli thing. This is not a Jewish thing. There are Buddhists and Christians and Muslims,
Hindus
and Hindus.
Yeah, 5 different religions, 25 different countries, from age of 1 to 86. We have a we're in Israel. They're gonna mark Holocaust Day. Next week, and it's we have a Holocaust survivor who's a hostage now in Gaza.
Like, really?
It's just, you cannot imagine that.
I can't.
It's so crazy. It's something we cannot grasp. So yeah, I'll say about the deals that the previous deal was negotiated. We're
talking about the deal for negotiating to get just in case
the release of the hostages. Sorry,
the release of the hostages. Yes.
So there have been two separate releases, or
no?
There was only one deal,
and it took a few days.
Okay.
So every day we got about 10 hostages, and then Israel sent back terrorists that she took into prison. So Israel is setting back setting free a few terrorists for each hostage. This is the deal, and also there's a ceasefire
with those rockets, yeah,
right,
which Hamas broke,
yes,
yeah. But yeah. I also, you don't know, was it somebody individually deciding that they're going to do it, or is it instructions by Hamas?
No, it was instructions. They declare that the deal was over.
Okay.
Hamas did.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't stand. It's all very complex, but they wouldn't give the next 10 alive people, and they started to kind of change the deal. The terms exactly, and then the deal was
shocking that they're not trustworthy.
But were there any people?
But there were names that were already about to be released, and
they didn't.
They didn't.
And were there dead hostages, bodies that they gave back, or?
No, there were bodies that the IDF managed to find and take out.
Okay.
From Gaza, but there were no bodies that were returned in the deal. Yeah.
And so now
we still have 132 hostages in Gaza. And we believe that there are about half of them that are still alive, we hope. Now they are negotiating in Cairo. Israel said yes. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, said yes to a deal that before he said no to.
Yeah.
Because it's a very harsh deal on Israel terms. But now they said yes, finally. And we're waiting for the answer from Hamas, from Sinwar, the head of Hamas. And he's been taking his time, and all eyes are on him right now, waiting for him to get, hopefully, a positive answer. And basically, we've been rallying this morning outside of the Qatari embassy because Qatar has a lot of power on Hamas. They give them a lot of money. Their leaders are flying all around Qatar, enjoying their lives, living as kings, when their people are paying the price, when our people are paying the prices. So we came there outside of the Qatari embassy to demand and to beg basically from them to put more pressure on Sinwar and on Hamas in order to get this positive answer and to start the deal as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And what is the deal?
So the deal now is talking about 33 hostages, the wounded, the elderly, the women. So this is like the first part of the deal. And hopefully once you're getting into that deal, you can have a second and a third stage to release more hostages. But when you're talking about Omri Miran, who I just spoke of, or on Omer Shemtov, so since they weren't injured and they're men, not elderly men, then they're not on that first kind of part. And this is the hardest part for all of us, that we understand that they're trying to keep them there and to use them.
Yeah.
And we are pushing for a deal that will include all of them.
Right.
And so one question that I get a lot, because I don't know, I'm on social media a lot talking about this, is what can we do? Like the American people, like what can like a regular person who's watching this show, who is deeply invested in this, who really cares, they don't know what to do. So maybe you guys can speak to that a little bit.
Okay.
The first thing that you should be doing is contacting the White House.
Okay.
Whitehouse.gov. The second thing you should be doing is doing 1MinuteADay.org. There's also a campaign that a few amazing women have started online. It's actionnetwork.org. There's a certain link. It's on my Instagram profile. I share reminders 6 times a day, 1 email a day. No matter where you live in the world, when you put in your zip code, it automatically generates the list of people, of elected representatives, that it should send to. So if you need that.
And why is that important?
Yeah. Because you're demanding the release of the hostages and for every government to do whatever it needs to do in order to for them to leverage, push, put pressure.
And the more emails that those representatives
it
get.
It's a topic of conversation.
And it's an with, action. It's an action.
That's the call to action that I share
that's
with everyone.
It's an action.
And the more emails that they get, the more on top of the list of what they need to do. Right. Is important for
and,
them.
And we're also, we're living in a political world and these people want to be elected again. And once they see the people who are supposed to vote for them care about this topic, then they care about this topic. It's very easy. I mean, they understand that they need to give answers to the people who are voting for them. So if they're getting a lot of emails and phone calls that are just reminding them, hi, good morning. It's day 210. We still have 132 hostages in Gaza. Please do everything you can. It takes less than a minute. Just do it.
There's a script.
Just call your elected officials. Send those emails. It's so easy. It's literally 1-2 minutes every day.
The email, by the way, is less than 20 seconds. It's just two drop downs and then that's it. It automatically generates it for the first after the first time.
And it's very helpful. And we get it also on our meetings.
How do they get? How do people get this? If I was listening to this now, I would have no idea.
So follow at bring.omer.home and at Liat Corinne, LEATCORINNE. It's on my bio. I post reminders every single day. You'll hate me, but I don't care.
And you can also just Google 1 minute a day.
All those things too. Yeah.
So let's now go.
Okay. So one minute a day.
One O N E.
Yeah.
M I N U T E.
Yeah. A day.
A.
No, it's D-A-Y. 1 min. A day.
You see?
I'm going to give you guys the links if you want to share them.
No, but this people are driving right now. May stick it in their head. People are walking their dogs. People have this and that. This is where this podcast is landing.
Got it.
People are just trying to, I know some, why has Modi got the hostage situation on? Usually we have laughter here and we did have laughs today.
Right.
Yeah. And I thank you, but let's now focus on making sure they know where to go.
onemiaday.org.
Okay.
That's one of them.
That's one of them.
That's whitehouse.gov.
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 And you have a scripted email to send.
On 1minuteaday.org.
So yeah, contact like them. Tell them you heard on the podcast. Be in touch with them. This is family. This is a part of the And Here's Modi family. This is a part of the, this is the mishpacha right now. And if you're listening to this, you're a part of the family. And contact them and be in touch with them. And
also go to @bringhomenow.
Bring them home now.
Bring them home now. Everything's on that Instagram also. It's
right.
Very easy.
That's the other thing that people can do. If I know it seems like you're going to spend two minutes a day like contacting emails. But if that feels like it's too much for you, you know, I can't judge. Like, comment, share to your stories. Make sure that you did something to bring about the conversation, to bring about the awareness. Every hostage family has created an Instagram.
And also there's the Instagram of the headquarters of the Bring Them Home Now.
And it's so amazing that this had to be done not by the government. This is done by...
Get me started.
I know. My family that lives in Israel, they said this is like amazing that the government actually preventing you from doing stuff too.
They're campaigning against the families.
It's so sick and insane, but okay.
Yeah, won't go into politics now.
We're not going to go into politics. We're just going to go into Mashiach energy. It's so funny. I brought you guys hats and you have your own hats. You brought your own. The one time I bring merch to give to the guests.
I'll take it from me. That's my husband.
Take it for everybody you want. I'm so happy that you have it and I'm so...
How about this? I'll take one for Omer.
Yeah, no, Omer is whenever he's
Omer's
ready,
gonna have to come here and get his.
He's
own
gonna know.
Too.
I'm gonna be in Israel, in Jerusalem, on June 16.
He'll be there by then.
And he can open up. If he's saying he's funny, let's have him open up for us. And
oh my God,
and it'd be amazing. Yeah. So go ahead.
I'll just add more things that people can do.
Yes, yes.
So we said about writing to your elected officials and to put it on social media. And to follow, and to talk about it, and to put a sticker on your computer the cool things everybody are drinking from. What's it called?
Stanley cups.
Put a sticker on your Stanley cup. Put a sticker wherever you can. We're bringing the stickers of the hostages to all of our rallies and our demonstrations, and you can just get them for free. Just take one and put it somewhere. You can print the hostages posters and just glue it all over the city wherever you want. And come to our rallies, come to our demonstrations. Support the families. We have hostages family members coming from Israel almost every week, and as you said, in Israel, because of the government, it became very political.
Yeah.
And they're not getting enough support, the hostages' families. It became this weird topic for many people that are like, everybody wants the hostages back, but people are not comfortable because it might look like they're criticizing the government if they're coming to support the families on this very, very weird and bad thing.
Wow.
And here it's not like that. Here everyone are coming. Republicans, Democrats, Orthodox, Reforms, secular, everybody are coming to support the families. And they're coming here and they're breaking in tears on our stages every week because they're just so shocked by the amount of support and love the American Jewish community gives them. Most of them are Israeli. They've never known the American Jewish community.
Yes.
And they're getting this huge hug. It's really amazing to see how week after week.
I talk about this in my show now.
So I want to just tell you guys, just for the Israelis who come from here, it's very hard to live in an alternate universe I was sharing with you. Apart from these incredible angels who I don't know how I'd still be functioning without them because I forget to eat, drink, like, you know. Seeing people show up week after week, because it's hard. 210 days, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
They're still there with us. And that somehow I can push on.
Amazing. Do they really support you too?
And it's really amazing. American Jewish community can do so much for the hostages. I mean, it's so far away.
No,
and they're so effective for the families and for this fight. And,
yes, that's what it is. And it's not just the Jewish community doesn't just support the Jewish community. The Rebbe always spoke about support the entire community, not just the Jewish part of the community. Mm-hmm. We want to help the guys and civilians and all that. That's just okay. So we had a serious moment. We had some laughs. I will be in Jerusalem June 16. We are also live on the shows in West Hampton. We have shows in Atlantic City. What?
Go ahead.
The special is out on YouTube. Know Your Audience, Modi. Everything's available on modilive.com. Go ahead.
We have the Modi cycle.
The Modi cycle. Contact Periel regarding the Hatzalah motorcycle on with Ellie Beer for United Hatzalah.
We're raising $36,000 to get a motorcycle with Modi's face on it. And
yes.
Wait, and sounds like fun.
What's the
purpose?
For Hatzalah. The one of those motorcycles.
It's a Modi cycle.
So three people that give $10,000 get tickets to either the Jerusalem show or the show in town in
the Beacon
in December. And again, everything's at modilive.com. Be in touch. Let us know what you think. Hats, everything is in there. Everything on modilive.com. Say hello. Be the friend that brings the friends to the comedy show. Get a few tickets, not just for you. Get some for your friends. And by the time the show shows up, you'll be the guy with the tickets and you'll be happy. And it'll be, then that's Mashiach energy. Thank you both for coming. I'm blessed and honored, and I'm so happy that this happened. Thank you.
Thank you, Modi. Thank you for everything you were doing. No. We're following and in love with everything.
Pause for the laughter. Make sure to have a few laughs during your day.
I'm also going to take a minute and say that I'm going to manifest Mashiach energy and I'm going to buy Omer a ticket. For the Jews.
Omer's on the guest list. How's that? Omer's on the guest list.
Too?
You can come too. Come to Yerushalayim. Yes.
I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah. Be there. Yerushalayim, June 16th. I'll see you all. Bye.
Bye.